Welcome to CompTIA's Shark Bites podcast with Alan Shark, Executive Director at the Public Technology Institute.
Hi there, this is Alan Shark, Executive Director of CompTIA's Public Technology Institute, with another episode of Shark Bites, where we explore tech leadership in government. If you're enjoying our series, we ask you to subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcast. Just look for CompTIA's Shark Bites and you will find us. So we are now entering phase two, or part two, of a discussion that we began in our last episode. We've been talking with Karen Robinson, who is formerly the CIO for the state of Texas, and also worked in the governor's office for 10 years prior to that. And Claire Bailey, who has worked as the CTO, kind of CIO for the state of Arkansas for some, 23 years under different administrations. And this is basically a continuation. So if you missed the last episode, I think it would be great after this to go back and listen to that, because we got into what got these folks into technology in the first place. We talked about the challenges of women in technology, but the discussion just kept going and it just warranted a part two. So here we are. So welcome, Karen, and welcome, Claire.
Thanks, Alan.
So picking up where we left off, we talked about leadership, we talked about the challenges and longevity. You know, the takeaways here: build solid relationships, make sure you're honest with those that you work with, and when you have those milestones of success, it gets noticed, which probably contributed to both of yours unusual longevity in your respective positions. And maybe because you're both from Texas, there's some element of hardness, toughness that helped get that along. But I want to shift to the environment in which we're working in. You know, some of us thought we were talking about a post-pandemic environment. Now there's some uncertainty, you know, the goalposts have been moved. But nevertheless, technology has experienced what we all refer to as the Great Pivot, which began in March 2020. So I'm going to ask you to look at your crystal balls. And my first question, and there's a two-part to this for both of you: what are the biggest changes that you see in technology moving forward? And what are the biggest obstacles that you see moving forward? So those are, you know, what are the things that stand out in your mind as we look ahead, whether it's post-pandemic or not? I mean, life goes on. What are the biggest things that excite you? And what are the things that you're concerned about? Karen, we'll start with you.
Thanks, Alan. Look at us now. We're on a podcast. We're actually on a Zoom, but we're doing a podcast and we're seeing each other. And we, during a normal situation, we might have been in a conference, at a conference somewhere, off in a conference room, just having a conversation. And I think the obvious challenge, or the obvious new feature, is that we are all connecting virtually. And folks were told to go home overnight during the beginning of the pandemic, not knowing how long they would be having to work from home. Now, we were already out of state government, and but you know, my old agency, or my former agency, had actually started doing virtual or remote emergency board meetings because we had so many that we ended up getting some legislation change that changed the concept of remote working from home. So I felt like DIR was in a good spot, but some of the other agencies hadn't taken advantage of that opportunity yet. The challenges were the unknowns and where are we going to go from here? We've both, Claire and I, have seen each other just because I had some tickets that were going to expire and I had to go to Phoenix anyway for another meeting, but it was careful. I mean, we had to be super careful. We have, the challenges are the unknowns. We do not know how this is going to evolve and how the conferences are going to take place and what's going to be the outcome. But I will say the advantage, and I don't want to brag, but this pandemic has given me an opportunity and the KWR strategies team an opportunity to grow. We have continued building our relationships. We have reached across the country. We've even been asked to possibly speak in another country, but right now it's going to be virtual. And well, I'd love to go to Spain. This is, it's kind of on hold. And so we, there's just so many unknowns right now.
I hope it's Barcelona. That's where I spent a lot of time with the smart cities movement way back in the good old days.
It actually was.
And don't make us cry because it is one of my favorite places to go, and I will be there again.
I will too. It's a very beautiful city. Claire, what is excites you looking ahead? And you know, I have to say, Karen, to your point, if I could, one of the great things about virtual are two things that come to mind. One, as you both know, I also am a professor. I teach at a university. And I do a lot of Zoom classes, although next week I start live again, which is going to be kind of interesting. And I'm not looking forward to it for one reason. When we do Zoom calls, regardless of politics, we don't wear masks. I get to see both of you in Zoom calls. When I'm in my class, I'm just going to see a pair of eyes of all my students. And the second thing, which is kind of selfish, with Zoom, nobody can sit in the back of the room. Invariably, there's always a class. There are people, whether good or not, they just gravitate to the back door. With Zoom, we're all among equals. We're a bunch of squares. So anyway, I just had to put that in. So
can I just jump in real quick on something, Alan? I have an 8-year-old. He's about to be 9. Grandson, and he actually excelled during the pandemic. And I was over, and he was playing a game, but he had two monitors set up. He had a game going on, and he had school going on. I said, "Well, aren't you supposed to be in school?" And he goes, "Yeah, but she's." She knows I'm playing this game with some of the other kids. Oh my gosh. Step away. So I had to step away.
There are our new IT help desk, right? They're going to be helping us big time. Claire, go ahead.
I think what's interesting to me, so I'm going to come at it again. My number three sister is Dr. Marianne Davis, Bailey Davis and she's in Winchester. And she teaches remotely all across the country, and she teaches sociology, diversity, all kinds of components. And in her, I use her to help me grow in my career. And one of the questions I ask, because all of us are about when we are implementing a new computer system for citizens, how do we help them adopt? Or when we're wanting to integrate DevOps and bring in new automated security testing tools, how do we ensure that we introduce it in a way that change is accepted or at least easier, right? Because that's how we measure success. People use what we create. People use the tools that we buy to help them be better in their jobs and to help secure systems. Her answer, we have a really strong back and forth on this because social change is so difficult. COVID, with all the horrific impact of it, was such a catalyst for social change to accept the fact that we don't have to be in an office to work. We don't have to drive to an office to work. Different people in government think that they have either seen successes in how citizen services are delivered. We saw the impact of if a computer system that delivered public services like unemployment was not created in a way that was highly scalable, because thankfully in our country, unemployment was dwindling, but at the same time now all of a sudden massive spikes. And how do you ramp up that scalability? So now it's up to the technologists to find that next level of engagement, because it is all about, can we just say all about, how quickly and effectively can you deliver services to citizens in need? We've had massive flooding in the state of Arizona. It's been raining here for days. Highly unheard of. We need the rain. We're thankful, but the flooding that we're seeing from the wildfires and Flagstaff, it's crazy things. How do we make sure that community who may have lost access gets those services? So that's where we've got to keep our eye on the prize, leveraging what we've learned, not going backward, and being able to continue to deliver the service. There may be a video group that you use internally to government, but what is the external public citizen need to access, and what are they most common and familiar with? You name it. How do we just capitalize and get all these people together and think, what are we going to do to really harness this? Because we don't want to go back. We don't, I hope the day and the mentality, and it does take time for some, for the management style that says, I have to see you to know you're working. I have to be able to, to walk around an office environment to know you're working. I want to track where you are on your device to know you're working. It's just a different concept, but let's harness that. Let's harness what we learned. Bad things are going to happen in life and you have two choices. It can destroy you, or you can say, okay, that was really bad. I'm living proof of that. That was bad. Let's not do that again. And how do we move forward and learn from that? Those failures make us even better. This, let's not let this horrific impact to our world go unnoticed. And let's make sure we move that. Let's modernize those systems. I still say, I very rarely use this traditional environment. If you could see me on the podcast, I'm holding up a phone. I won't tell you what my favorite is, but you can probably guess. And that mobile device is what I connect to. That mobile tablet is what I connect to. And I'll close with the broadband issue, the equitability issue of access. Again, coming from a rural state, I work with Karen and I took it some time to drive to Arkansas and I lost wireless service. Won't tell you my carrier. It was horrible. It could have been the roads I chose at the same time, wanting to just see green trees. I had a nephew. I have a great nephew who is autistic, highly functioning autistic, brilliant young man. He's in high school now. But when he was younger, he came to visit me in Paris, Texas at my sister's home. And he tried to connect his tablet to the network. Guess what? My sister at that time did not have a wireless network. And he looked at me and he says, Aunt Claire, I need to get connected to the internet. And I said, we are on West Washington Street in Paris, Texas. And I'm sorry, they don't have that. They don't have broadband here. He said, you are wrong. And I said, how am I wrong, CJ? And he said, the internet is in the air. You do not need wires to connect to the internet. It is everywhere. That was about 8 years ago. That is the environment our next generation of technologists are growing up to. It's not the wired physical connections. It's the fact that the internet is everywhere and it's in the air. And when we saw the impact of sending computers home with children and they had Wi-Fi card, you know, they had wireless cards in them, there was an assumption that every child had access to a wireless network, or an assumption that everyone had access to broadband that allowed a wireless network. We have to learn how to understand where technology is and where technology isn't, and use these times of good health, non-pandemic world that is coming, to make sure that we are never caught off guard again. And we know that it's hard, that never word's hard, but at the same time, there's some things that we can do risk to minimize the risks that we see out there.
So a couple of things come to mind listening to both of you. I mean, one, I think the pandemic has legitimized telework. There are some old-fashioned managers, we all know them, they're out there, that you know have a hard time managing somebody who's not in the office next door. But I'm also going to be the one to tell you, and you know this, just because someone's in the office doesn't mean they're productive or even working. There's a myth that, oh, if you're in the office, you have to be working. No, I see people, you know, just moving around from one office to the other, chit-chatting and looking busy, and perhaps leaves at the end of the day totally exhausted, but hasn't done a damn thing. We know that. We hear from people who, the bigger problem is, how do I separate? How do I pull myself away from work in my home office? I'm probably putting in more hours. I'm just putting them in differently. I'm not sitting in the car in the traditional commute that I had. So I think that's one thing. The future of office, I think, is going to change forever because we realize that in this mobile world where the internet is in the air, we know we can almost work for everywhere, not every position, but quite a few positions can do that. And, you know, I just wrote a commentary, it was published yesterday, about is it time to consider broadband as a utility? Because when we talk about our students, when we talk about the need for this, the absolute dependency, the digital dependency has never been stronger. So I'm glad you brought up broadband. Yeah. Is that something you guys are working on in any of your projects right now?
We are. Uh-huh. We have some clients that are new to us. But what we're finding, Alan, is that not only do the broadband companies come in and have specifics, solutions or platforms, but everybody touches cybersecurity. So no matter what their original perception is of a company, they are expanding, and they have AI, they touch cybersecurity. There's a lot of different verticals with all of these companies that we talk to and that actually have asked us to help them. So while my team has grown, our customer base has grown as well. And so our training internally has changed. And I think we're getting smarter. I'm getting smarter on technology. I know the people, and I know how you have to have the relationships, but just going through onboarding and learning how these companies function and what they're looking forward to is really interesting. And so we'll get a call from a state CIO that we've either known for a long time or that's new to us and say, hey, what have you got? I mean, KWR has been in the works for 6 years now. In May, we celebrated 6 years as a small company. And I will say to the CIO,
female-owned company.
Go KK. Got to give you a shout out. She's amazing.
So we'll go and have dinner, or we'll see a state CIO, but we don't push the solution unless it fits into their initiatives. And one of the things that both Claire and I have always said, read our strategic plan, read our state strategic plan. That is the message we tell our clients. And yeah, broadband is huge, especially in some areas. But these companies that we are working with, they have to touch and partner with other companies to fulfill a lot of the needs that we're seeing across the country.
Let's jump ahead, Karen, while I still have you on this one. You've had this concept of a company, you now have it, KWR Acuity Strategies. Where did Acuity Strategies come from? I get the KWR, but Acuity, that's kind of a word that's not used that often. And just curious, was that over so many drinks or something you did a lottery on words? It's an interesting term. Tell us.
So I retired from the state and took a month off. We had great retirement celebrations in other states. And had a couple of companies called and said, you know, they wanted me to come on board, and I just wasn't ready for that commitment. And then someone called and said, hey, can you help us get into some different states? And I'd worked with this company for quite a while, and I knew their solution and I knew what they were capable of. And it's about perception. And we've kind of dropped acuity from the regular conversations because a lot of people have a hard time understanding what it means, keenness of perception. And it's also sometimes a challenge for people to say. So basically we're KWR Strategies, but we are quite acute in the fact we are okay. Cute, but we are, we do have a perception of keenness, and we think ahead and we're trying to be on top of things.
So go ahead, Claire, you want to add something? Yeah.
Well, one of the fun things about working together is that as we go, we've tried to focus on things and go in and just have conversations, just talking and getting back in the groove of seeing people and listening to them and understanding. There's so much, I wouldn't call it technology therapy time, but sometimes it could be, because there's so much when you haven't had the organizations like NASCIO or National Association of State Technology Directors, NASTD, when you haven't had those group discussions together, those are missed. And that's how we built our relationship when we were state CIOs, to learn about what's each other's struggles are, or to say, I was a little state and if some vendor was being mean to me, I would say, hey, California, Colorado, and Texas are my best friends. I will call them if you're not nice. That's
It's true.
That's the part that we bring with the acuity strategies. That keenness of perception is based on listening.
And listening is important, but you also have your track record of success. So I was talking to Doug Robinson the other day. We were on a panel virtually.
My cousin.
We recognized that there's something interesting, a new phenomenon. Both of us started in 2004, which is hard to believe, both in SEO and PTI. Both of us go back that far. But the newest thing that we're noticing is the new problem that state capitals have and local governments is they're flush with cash. Between the leftovers of CARES, ARP money, now a cybersecurity fund, the infrastructure bill, assuming something comes out of that. I mean, these folks have tons of money. How is that affecting your business? Because I'm hearing people are having a hard time finding talent. And helping people to direct their energies, it's like there's this overwhelming sense. I mean, this is something we've never encountered before. And I worry because I suspect there will be a drought after 2025. But let's focus on now. What are you seeing with this? And is this helping your companies in planning and strategizing? This must be a boon for so many.
The hard part is understanding because again, having worked with federal government before and with emergency management and with the entire grants management process as being a state government employee, you've got to be ready and enabled with systems to be able to identify the needs, distribute the funds, and ensure the funds are being accurately spent and you're getting value from those funds. Because again, you look at the nature of building up to the pandemic issues. The last time we had done that was in the crash and we had some Recovery Act funding. So you got to, but there's been a lot of people changes in leadership levels that might not necessarily remember how did we track that. So we get asked as from states and also from our partners who come to work with us, tell us how they're spending the money. And we've even heard horror stories of people going into states saying, tell us how you're spending your money, which we know people need a little time to identify that. The number one thing is to know your states and know what each state is truly a unique environment. There's some things that are the same regardless, but putting in broadband in a rural area of Arkansas that's got mountains and all kinds of geographical challenges is very different than in the vast state of Texas that I realized when I started traveling outside of Texas that Texas has a lot of flat areas and the beautiful Texas I know of Dallas, which is very shiny. It's very different than the desert I live in Arizona. Okay. So, we kind of laugh back and forth, but really the catalyst for being successful for both industry and government is going to be working together to share information on here's funding areas I need and this is where I need help and us mirroring those to the funding and the availability to identify the best products to meet that demand.
Good. Karen, I'm going to give you the last word. When it comes to these state capitals with all this money and there's got to be a temptation, how do you control, how do you manage expectations among the folks that you're talking to?
So while we think they have a lot of money and some of them are reporting that they have a lot of money, I think this time, states and local governments are taking a step back. So while there's a lot more remote work going on, the real estate's down. I mean, there's not as many buildings being occupied and we're seeing it around, and I'm sitting here across the street from the Capitol now, but I know that Texas is kind of consolidating a little bit of that workspace and modernizing it, taking advantage of that. And what I'm hearing from some of our customers and our clients is that they feel good about where they are in meeting the expectations of their customers, the state agencies and different states now, but everybody's buckling down. And I think looking forward, there's going to have to be some step up. Some of these clients are going to have to prove themselves that they can meet the expectations of the CIOs. And while we may have we may have that money, that bucket of, they may have that bucket of money now, the next fiscal and the fiscal after that, we're going to have to, we, KWR, is working very hard with our customers, our clients, to spread the word that these, that our brand is tied to some of these vendors who do see the future and are trying to step up and show the value of their platforms and what they're offering.
Well, thank you so much, both of you. You've been listening to an interview of Shark Bites, the CompTIA's podcast with Karen Robinson and Claire Bailey. Thank you so much for agreeing to be in two parts. And for those of you who missed the first part, I recommend that you go back and listen, and it sets a stage for this discussion. So Karen, thank you. Claire, thank you for your time. It's been great meeting with you, talking to you. I wish everybody could both visually see you as I am, but right now audio will have to do.
Thanks, Alan. I'll talk to you in a few minutes, Claire.
This has been a production of PTI, the Public Technology Institute. To learn more, visit pti.org.